You're listening to another great podcast in the MyMac Podcasting Network. Hey, Melissa.
Hey, Elisa.
We're going to call this episode 417F of Geeky Just Show F. Ever.
Just the letter F.
Imagine what the F stands for. We have just spent the last two hours.
Okay, but it was kind of fun, sort of.
Effing around
and
with
pass keys
and one password.
That's what F stands for. F stands for finding out.
Yeah. What a cluster that was. I finally...
Wait. What? Before you get started, I just thought of something that I want to tell you to help you feel a little bit happier. I did watch that episode of Saturday Night Live.
With Ryan.
Butthead. Oh, my God.
The one with Ryan Gosling.
That's why I'm sitting there going,
2 weeks ago. Yeah.
I pressed
record. That was funny. Yeah.
It was really good. I finally got caught up.
Well, the beginning, the first skit, when they brought Kate McKinnon back. When they see
the alien abduction.
They may see the alien abduction. Oh my God.
And that one was, that I was like,
that one was pretty tame compared to what she normally does.
Oh yeah. But even then, could you imagine? Because Ryan Gosling just could not keep it together. He kept cracking up and breaking character. I'm like, oh my God, this is nothing. And you're breaking character for this one.
He's done that skit before.
Oh, he has?
Yes. The last time he was host, he did that skit before. Oh yeah. Yeah,
because and then I can't remember.
You have Kate McKinnon, referring to body parts by hysterical names, and then saying, "Can I use you as an example?" And then just touching him in different places,
right?
And she's being totally serious. And
oh my God, she's my favorite weird Barbie ever.
Yeah, she's great. The characters she does are great.
And then I can't remember the name of the actress that was in the Beavis and Butthead segment, and she lost it. And she tries so hard.
That was
Heidi. She has tried so hard to keep her composure, and she just couldn't. She just couldn't keep it together. But that was the best part, though. Like, I felt really bad for her because I think she felt bad for breaking character because she's like really hard on herself about it. But that's what makes it so funny. I don't know. It's just something about these SNL skits. Whenever they break character, that's when I lose it. But I know they're not supposed to. And then, I mean, it wouldn't be funny if they always broke character. But when they do,
if
you know they're trying so hard.
I'm wondering if when they did their dress rehearsal, they weren't dressed in character.
Yes, that's what happened. They were, but only up to a certain point. He didn't do the exposed gums. It was the exposed gums that just broke her.
Yeah,
because he didn't have that. I mean, I think they might have had like the hair pieces on, but it was I laugh thinking about it. I mean, can you imagine if you had practiced that in dress rehearsal, but it wasn't completely the look wasn't put together, and then you turn your head and you see those exposed gums? That would have broke me too.
Yeah.
There's no saving that. So, yeah. Anyway, I had to tell you that before I forgot because it just makes me giggle thinking about it. Okay, now that you're completely and utterly diffused, do you want to tell us about what was causing you to say so many bad words?
Okay, so
all at once.
As listeners know, you and I both have the 1Password subscription, and I had updated to 1Password 8 on my computer. I forget exactly when. I did that a few months back, but I just didn't do it on iOS.
Yeah.
So finally,
you're just being lazy.
That's exactly what it was. It was just being...
Just one of those things. That's just like me.
Yeah,
it's like, I know I need to do it, but I just like, I want to back things up and I want to do
it
my own way.
And it wasn't causing me any problems, so it wasn't like I had to do it right
away. It wasn't broken,
so you didn't fix it. Whatever. So yesterday I did the iPad and I did the iPhone today, and I went into the Watchtower to find the different apps that have...
Because for some reason you thought that was going to be a good idea.
Yeah. Password vulnerability, because maybe I was using the same password twice for some reason, or it was in a data breach, or
all the things the Watchtower does.
Yeah.
We should probably back up a little bit and tell listeners who might not be aware, maybe they use a different a different credential manager. Yeah. But Watchtower is a service. It's a feature that's provided by 1Password that basically will lead you, it'll guide you through doing an audit. And that's what Elisa ended up doing, was a password audit. And it basically gives you this meter that says, you know, it gives you a score. It's kind of like a FICO score, mm-hmm. I would compare it to.
Got very bad credit in that case.
Exactly. Basically, well, and I'll tell you something. It's because we're geeks, because we have been using passwords for longer than the average person. You know what I mean? And so I think it is going to be that I would challenge anybody who is, you know, a self-professed geek or a nerd, or it's just somebody who's been working in technology, somebody who has a large digital footprint, I would challenge anybody to have a really good credit score when it comes to their Watchtower score. So I just think it kind of is what it is. For me, it's just the sheer volume of passwords and credentials that I have stored with 1Password that makes my score really low. So I'm not proud of that. And I do use the Watchtower service a lot, but I use it more with my clients and my family members, because I don't want to say there's no hope for me, but there's kind of no hope for me.
It's
there's
a
just
pain
old
in the
passwords
butt.
To go through, and yeah,
you know, like certain yeah. things. For example, I went into Slacker Radio, uh-huh. which was a online radio streaming
yeah.
service back from 2011, 2012.
Okay, we're not talking about like Napster or LimeWire.
No, no, no.
So,
this
not
is just something where you can yeah. create an account, and like if you yeah. like to listen to classic rock or country music mm. or whatever, you can. It's like SiriusXM. You can have
did it predate
channels.
It predated Sirius? Or
yes.
is it like a copycat of?
Oh, yeah. Okay. I had like Live 365, which I really liked and still does exist. And I had Slacker Radio. So I clicked on okay. Slacker Radio because I had like a really stupid password, because back then
yeah.
we didn't know any better.
Yeah.
So you
or it wasn't as much of a problem.
Yeah. Or you might put, you know, I love my dog as your password, because who cares? Who's going to hack into mm-hmm. that?
Right. And everything has your mother's maiden name. Okay.
Wait, exactly.
That's
and
still,
if your
that
mother
still happens today.
Yeah. But if your yeah. mother's maiden name was Smith, you actually yeah. put Smith.
Exactly.
Instead of aluminum foil.
Aluminum foil.
One of your favorites. So Slacker is now called, oh, what was it called? Live did, X or something?
Did it get bought
exactly
out by somebody
now.
Else?
No, they just changed their names or whatever.
Okay, so just a rebranding.
So basically, I was able to go in and clean up one of my mm-hmm. logins and mm-hmm. be able to say, okay, it brought me to this website. I used it took my old name and password. I was able to change the password to something better, save it as a new login, and delete the old Slacker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
yeah,
I was
one way,
you know,
to clean it up.
Doing things like that, trying to get things cleaned up.
One and consolidated.
And
with
one of the problems that I found, and I wish 1Password had a way of fixing this. Let's say you have a bad, let's say you have a passkey, or you have something wrong with your Amazon account, mm-hmm. and you share it. You have it in your private vault. You also have it in with you and your husband.
Mm-hmm.
If it fixes in yours, it doesn't fix in you and your husband.
Hmm.
So what you have to remember to do?
Yeah, because they're two separate entries. Yeah.
So you have to go mm-hmm. in and change it in the second vault.
Mm-hmm. There are very few of those. I know what you're talking about, and we do have that issue. I can't think of one off the top of my head, because I have been systematically trying to avoid that. I know what you're talking about. But say, for example, Amazon's a good example, because we do share an Amazon account. And so for that reason, that's why I have a separate vault called Family. And in that vault are all of the things that my husband and I share. So in other words, in fact, this is going to sound, I don't know how to explain this. I'll just explain it. So in 1Password for Families, which you and I both have, we have that subscription model. Everybody can have their own vault. You invite them. Now, with my family, what I have chosen to do, and I've shown them this, is I have set in the 1Password settings for their accounts on their devices that whenever they create a new password, it goes into the vault that I've created for them and not into their private vault. And that's so that I can help them with it. Now, if let's say I'll just make this up. Let's say one of them, let's say my husband, for example, he wanted to buy me a gift from a website and he didn't want me to know. And your mind can wander and you can think of all other ways or reasons why you would do this, but I'm just going to keep it clean. Let's say he wanted to buy me a gift from a specific, okay, well, let's make it a little dirty, just a little spicy. We'll spice it up a little bit. Let's say he wanted to buy me some lingerie. And he wanted to go to, he signed up with an account to a specific website where he wanted to buy lingerie from. But he didn't want me to know that he created that account because otherwise I would have been like, what's this? In other words, his vault, it's just called Nate, and it's a shared vault between us. It's a vault that I created for him, and I have all of his devices set that when he creates a new account on a new website, it goes into his Nate vault. Not into his private vault. But let's say, for example, he wanted to buy lingerie. He wanted to surprise me about it because I'm notoriously very difficult to surprise. I know you can't imagine why that is, as I'm about to tell you, because everybody needs help. And so, you know, the way that I help them is by setting things up for them. But then it kind of like breeds complacency, or then it becomes this learned helplessness. But let's just say, for the sake of argument, that my husband really wanted to try to surprise me, even though he's actually really given up. But let's just, you know, this is just an example. He wants to surprise me. He wants to buy me lingerie. He wants to create an account on this brand new website, and he doesn't want me to know about it. In that case, he would have to know, which he doesn't. He would have to know to select his private account and save it in there. If he saves it in there, then I can't see it. I can't access it. So if he had an account on this lingerie website and then I decided, oh, I actually really do like this place and I want to shop there now. If I created my own password and my own account and saved it to my private vault, then yeah, we would have two separate, or I should say, okay, no, that's not the same example. Let's say we use the same email address. If I wanted to have that same password, I could make a duplicate of it and I could copy it and put it in my private vault. Then he would have it in his and I would have it in mine. It's the same account, same username, same password, but in two separate vaults. And you're right. If he goes and changes the password, I can't log into it anymore because now the password has not been updated in my vault. So the way that you get around that is by determining. So for example, we'll go back to Amazon again. That's one account that we want to share. We want to use the same password, same username. We do not keep it in separate vaults. We keep it in one vault that we share. I called it family because you can't call it shared because there already is a shared vault, and that's for other things. And I'll tell you why I don't use that. The shared vault is shared amongst everybody, including the kids. I don't want them to have access to certain things, especially like a lingerie account or something. I don't want them to have the keys to the city. I don't want them to have certain accounts. Like Netflix, sure, no problem. Hulu, sure. Disney, sure. We'll put those in the shared vault. But certain sites where they're able to spend money, now they're older, it's not as much of a problem as it used to be. But when they were little, yeah, no, I don't want them having access to that. So the only things that go in the default already created shared vault are only things that I truly do want shared between all of the family members that are part of this account that I've invited. Whereas, for example, things that Nate and I use together as a family to administrate things like accounts for the family where we're spending money and shopping and stuff, our HSA account, for example, our banking accounts, those go in the family vault where it is only shared between Nate and I. It's not shared with my dad. It's not shared with the kids. It's not shared with anybody else, only between him and I. So that could be something you could try that would fix the problem of, so what's the problem to be solved is you change a password, but then it doesn't update it for your husband's account, but it does for yours and you want it to, then you'd have to say, yeah, this is going to be an account that we share. So we're going to put it in a vault that is shared between just the two of us. Did any of that register at all?
You use it differently than I do. Yeah, I'm at a different stage of my life.
I use everything differently than most people.
I'm at a different stage of my life. I have my private vault. Tom has his private vault.
Yeah.
I have a vault between the two of us, but the things that I put between the two of us are in case I die.
Yeah.
Then he will have the passwords to get in because he
versus just opening your vault. That would be too much for him.
Yeah. And mm-hmm. I also have that with my middle son. He has his private vault, and then I have passwords in there because he's the executor should Tom and I both go together. Mm-hmm. He's the executor, so he
needs... Which could happen, you know.
He needs to know, here's the bank account, here's the credit cards, here's the electric bill, blah, blah, blah. He needs to know how to get into those.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, and plus, like with Tom, I also have, like you said, the Hulu, the MLB, in case he's on the TV and they kick him out for some reason, he's got the passwords to log back in. Though usually it's, can you come help me?
Right. And of course, they're so cute.
It's like, what is it now, dear? I can't log into MLB. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, but you get the doe-eyed version. I get the, like, the swearing version.
Then he like, you know, blinks his eyelashes a few times. I'm like, it's just quicker for me to do it.
Yeah. Is there going to be a foot rub involved?
Yeah. Maybe? Yeah. What are you going to give me in return? I'll make you some brownies. Okay.
Okay. Sold. Deal. Without the smoke detector going off, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So let me ask you this. Can you think of an example that wouldn't divulge any personal information, but can you think of an example where you and he have the same account login, but you keep it in your private vault and he keeps it in his private vault?
The only thing I can think of off the top of my head was when we were applying for the mortgage for this house. We kept getting documents from the bank, and we had to have separate logins to sign the documents.
Okay, right. Same thing for when we bought the car. Exactly. So, yes, he has his login. I have my login. There's really no reason for me to use his login. But then, yeah, if I had to change the password for some reason, he would have to do it. I mean, like I said, I have it set up differently because I basically just have all my family members set up so that they're not using a private vault. Have you thought about that? Have you thought about just setting up a vault for Tom that you and he can both access? Like, is there a reason why?
I have it.
Okay, but why would he have to have a private vault then?
Because there's things that he has that have no effect on me.
Yeah. Okay. So, like,
when he was still working, he had his bank account. He had the vendors that he worked with. You know, all the information he needed for running the store. I don't need access to that.
I could see how that gets messy. See, I have Nate set up with his own work. There's a Nate work vault then for that stuff. Like, because I don't have any reason to access his school, like things he needs to log into school, right? And I wouldn't want to have access because that would like violate FERPA and things like that. But the point is that there are occasionally things where we just have to think about a little bit. Like, for example, I'll say his health insurance login. Here's another example. His pay stub, like for his benefits, his HR account, or I don't know what you would call that. But there is an account that he needs to log into to access his contract, you know, to sign his contract, to elect benefits. But the thing is like him and I always do that together. And then I'm the one that manages the finances and stuff like that and applies for things. I need to access that because I need to get copies of his pay stub because we're paperless. And so I do log into that on his behalf with his login. So that's something where it's involved with his work, but I log into it to download pay stubs. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So for that reason, I do have access to that vault. I'm trying to think of another thing where there's crossover. So again, with the insurance, I know that, for example, I had to think about that because his insurance login, I need to access to gather his medical records for setting things up. I mean, these are all things that I can do as his spouse. It's legal for me to do that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and those are all in my private vault. His logins, because he just doesn't do it. I do it.
Exactly. We're kind of the administrator, but see, that kind of stuff, I keep it in his vault, but I have access to it for the purposes of administrating that kind of stuff. See, there again, there's just no reason, unless, like I said, unless my husband wanted to surprise me, and this is only if he knew the difference between and cared. I shouldn't say that. I have told him, but he does not care that there's such a thing as a private vault versus a shared vault. He just has no care in the world.
Do you know
there's
what
no
I went
to
through
back.
To get him to use 1Password?
Because
he was one of those people that just wanted to put "I love my dog" as his password for everything. And I'm like, no.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, yeah, it's definitely been a chore for sure. And one that they appreciate. I mean, my husband definitely appreciates it. I mean, I know he sits there when we have to go do something where we have to make this long application process, or, you know, when we were buying the house, when we were buying the car, when we're managing his mother's stuff. Like, yeah, he looks at me and I can tell he's looking at me with like sheer wonder, and he's watching me just auto log into everything, and I'm just using key commands. And this is why he doesn't want to have anything to do with it, but this is why he doesn't want to touch it. He's like, just you do it. He likes to watch me do it.
Yeah. You're going too fast. What did you just do? I'm like, don't worry about it. We're where we need to be.
Right, exactly. It's like, shh, yeah, it's okay.
Let mommy work. Yes.
Mommy's busy. Oh my goodness. So back to this whole thing. Like, I mean, basically we started down this whole rabbit hole because you saw the shiny watchtower in the red and you were feeling a little bad about that and you wanted to fix it. And then you realized, like, I just have no F's left for this now.
Oh, it just got to be, and especially, and we won't dwell on this too much longer, but there's a separate section that says pass keys available, and we talked about this a few episodes back about pass keys.
I've given presentations on pass keys now, so I'm the pass key mama.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. And we click on pass keys, and then it brings you to that website that tells you which businesses have which websites have a pass key.
Right, and it takes you to the pass keys. What are they calling it? The directory.
And a lot of them would come up. Yeah, no. Mm-hmm. There's no passkey here, or it would say, yeah, just click here, and you'll have to log in with your name and password, but then it will give you the opportunity to convert to a passkey. Well, what Melissa and I discovered after, you know, a lot of blah, 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 FFF, blah, 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 is that you don't necessarily do it on your laptop or your computer.
Yeah.
You have to do it on your iOS device.
Mm-hmm. And on mobile.
We found that with Twitter. We found that with Target. Yahoo. And we found
It wasn't Target. Target we fixed.
That's right. We fixed Target. Right. But it worked with Yahoo and it worked with Twitter.
But the cluster of it all was the fact that, and this is in no way like any dig on you or anything, because this is just like, we're both here sitting here trying to figure out, like, how would mere mortals figure this stuff out? And the only reason I knew how to fix it is because I have been working with mere mortals trying to fix this thing. And I've just known it from playing around with it because I have given presentations on it. And the problem was that there is built-in keychain with your iCloud, and then there is the way that the browser that you're using, whether it be Chrome or Safari, has there's three different ways that you and I, because we're geeks, are managing passwords because we play around with this stuff. And so we both have passwords stored in keychain. We both have passwords stored in the browser. Well, not anymore, but, you know, we've tried it, right, just to see how it would work and why that's a bad idea. And then we both have, of course, everything managed in one password. Well, having those three things all conflict with each other. So you really kind of have to like pick something and move on. And so what I always say is, if you're gonna invest and live in one password, then live in one password. So that means you need to go and turn off keychain. You need to go into your password settings and make sure it's not setting any autofill through your browser or your iOS device. So turn that off. Go into Safari settings, turn that off, autofill. Go into Chrome and make sure that Chrome isn't saving passwords for you, and turn that the hell off. So you have to toggle all these switches off and make sure that it's only going to pop up one password for filling in your pass keys. So that was an issue that we ran into with your setup, was that you had a couple of toggle switches on here and there. But you kind of have to do, so in addition to doing a password audit, what you really need to do first is do an audit of your password autofill settings across your system and your browsers. And you have to do that on each device. So that's the first thing you have to do, is make sure that your password autofill is set to be one or the other. Now, can you still have both turned on? Sure, you can, but then you have that's a very deliberate choice you need to be making. And I've made that choice for the purposes of evaluating passkey management when I was doing presentations because I wanted to distinguish the difference between what does it look like when macOS or iOS is offering to autofill a passkey for you versus what does it look like when 1Password is offering to autofill a passkey for you. And if you have both of them enabled, they're going to conflict. And sometimes it's a matter of timing. Sometimes one will pop up before the other. And so you have to be aware of that. So you can use both, but be careful and you have to learn the difference between the two. And so if you're going to do that, it's going to get messy and you're going to have to know that. So that's what we sort of kind of like, we did some housekeeping in that area and we cleaned that up at least. And so then we got it down to like, okay, I just want 1Password to offer to autofill a passkey for me. And then that fixed the problem that you were having with Target. So the problem that you were having with Target was it wasn't saving, it wasn't updating the passkey and syncing across your devices, and it wasn't autofilling correctly. It was offering you to autofill with macOS when you needed it to be 1Password. So we fixed that. Now you have a Target passkey that works on your mobile devices and on your desktop or your laptop, your macOS devices. So that's now working. But then the other problem that we ran into is with Twitter specifically, Twitter and Yahoo, we can pick on. These two services are listed as, do they use the word eligible in the directory? Yep. or compatible or something? And what we have found that what that means is when you see Twitter or Yahoo, for example, and I'll throw USAA in there too. When you see them as listed in the directory for FIDO Alliance, or and I've talked about that in previous episodes, so you'll have to go back and listen to that episode where we talked about what FIDO Alliance is and what it does. But FIDO Alliance and 1Password both host a directory site where you can do a search. So if you just want to search for Twitter, formerly known as X, which you're going to type in Twitter anyway because that's the only way you're going to find it, because X will just find everything else with the letter X in it, which is dumb, and we know why it's dumb, and we're not going to even talk about that. But if you're doing a search for Twitter, for example, or Yahoo, it's going to show it to you that, yes, it's in the directory. But all that means is that that company who develops that service, Twitter, Yahoo, that they have basically agreed to be in the alliance. They have agreed to roll out passkeys. They have agreed to make their services compatible with passkeys, but it doesn't mean that the rollout has been completed. So for example, and I think we can say this in both of them, for Twitter and Yahoo, they have started the process to roll out implementation of passkeys, but for right now, you can only create your passkey using a mobile device. You cannot do it on a desktop device. And also, in the case of Twitter, and I haven't seen this with Yahoo because I haven't tried it yet, but in the case of Twitter, that rollout also does not mean that it's rolled out to every account holder. Because as we found out, Elisa's more specialer than I am, and mm-hmm. you have two Twitter accounts, and both of your accounts support passkeys. They offer it. Whereas me, I looked in my account, and we also have a Twitter account for Geekiest Show Ever, and both of those accounts are not eligible yet. It has not been rolled out to that. And believe me, we looked in the same, we followed all the instructions and we went there and we even showed our phones. Okay, we both have the same screen open, but Elisa's had the nice shiny little toggle switch for passkeys, and neither mine nor the Geeky Show accounts had that toggle switch available. So there's that.
Well, there's one thing I'm still a little confused about. Mm-hmm. I was under the impression that if I create a passcode, let's go back to Target. Mm-hmm. I would have to create the creating on my computer, on my phone, on my iPad. But I only had to create it once and it synced to 1Password and it works everywhere.
Right. And that's how it is with Amazon now. Because we originally, when we first started tinkering with this, it seemed as though you had to repeat the create a passkey process on each device.
Exactly. And that was the impression
that I had,
because I understand the public key versus the private key.
Right.
So I should have one key on my phone, a different key on my iPad, and a third key on my computer.
Right. That's the way I thought. I understood it too. But in practice, I'll just pick on Amazon because that one I have thoroughly tested. it seems as though I only need one passkey. Now, what I need to do is make sure that that one passkey, and this goes back to why we gave you the background of the way that I have 1Password configured, in that my husband and I are sharing an Amazon account, and we're also storing that login credential in a shared vault that both of us can access. The kids can't access it, but we can, okay? And so what I would need to add to my testing is that same passkey. I'm pretty sure it works because he's not had any problems logging in and out, but then again, he doesn't log in and out very frequently. Why would you do that? We just use the Amazon app on his phone. I use the Amazon app on my phone, on my iPad, and on my Mac. Now, my husband, oh, and so there's not an app on the Mac, it's a website. So I should say I log in using either the app or the website on multiple devices, and then my husband has his device, but we're sharing the same account, and it all seems to work with only one passkey stored. Let me double check that and make sure that that's the case. If I go to Amazon, I believe we only have one. Right. We only have one passkey created. So back in October of 2023. So for the case, for just if we use Amazon as an example, the login credentials are as follows: a username, a passkey, a password, a one-time password. Now, we also have a print controls pin, but that's something different. I did disable two-factor authentication, so I actually don't need that one-time password anymore because I can use just a passkey. But like before we sat down to record, I went and I logged into Amazon, and I went into the security and the password area of the account, and you cannot delete your password. Even though I have a passkey, and for all intents and purposes, it seems like we only need one passkey stored on our devices, synced through 1Password for my husband and I across all of those devices with one, just in 1Password, with one login credential that contains a passkey. It seems to be working. So there's really no reason for us to need a password anymore, but there isn't a way to delete it yet because that's probably part of their rollout process. Everybody still has an account password, so that would stand to reason that maybe your account is still vulnerable because, as we said, as I've said in presentations in the past, that right now as it stands, pass keys are not hackable, they're not crackable, but passwords are. So if you've got an Amazon account and we're still made to have a password, doesn't that stand to reason that even though I have a passkey, my account could still theoretically be hacked because my password could be crackable? Now, I do have a long secure password. It's just a bunch of gobbledygook.
Right.
So the entropy is really long. So, I mean, chances are slim that my personal Amazon account could be cracked with my passcode. With my password. But that's the whole point of pass keys, is to get everybody to be using pass keys instead of passwords.
But then,
because passwords are crackable.
Right. But then what happens if you're the kind of person that has just an iPhone? You don't have an iPad, you don't have a computer, and now you...
That's my dad. My dad just has an iPhone.
Okay.
Yep.
And he likes to log on to his Amazon account, but he just bought a new phone.
Right.
He can't log on.
Yes, he can, because he's using 1Password.
If he doesn't have a password, if they finally say, well, you've got a passkey now, you can get rid of I love my dog as your password. We just need your email address, your passkey. Well, now that he's moved to a new device, that device is attached to that passkey. The new one is not. How does he log on to Amazon?
With 1Password. So passkeys are synchronized across your devices with 1Password. So your premise would be true if these conditions were met, okay, we'll pick on my dad. Sorry, Dad. Dad's got an iPhone. He's only got an iPhone. But let's say Dad doesn't use 1Password. Let's make it even stickier. Dad has an iPhone. Dad doesn't use an Apple ID. He just doesn't want to. Maybe he's an Android holdover and he still uses Google for everything. So, or that's not even fair. Let's just say Dad has a tinfoil hat complex, and he's scared of everything, and doesn't trust anybody, and doesn't trust the cloud. So he doesn't use the cloud for anything. He has an iPhone, but he doesn't trust the cloud. So he doesn't have an Apple ID and he doesn't have a Google ID. And he has an iPhone, but he has to log into Target. Let's say he shops at Target for whatever reason, and Target has a passkey. So he has a phone. Let's say he has an iPhone 13. He's got a Target account. He saved his password in his phone. He saved his passkey in his phone. Now, I don't know how this works because, I mean, this would be a test that I'd have to do with like an older phone or something. I would have to set up a phone that has no affiliation with any kind of cloud service whatsoever. And I would have to, well, first of all, you'd have to have, okay, so how do you download the Target app? Well, you need to have an App Store account. And you can't have an App Store account without an Apple ID, to my knowledge. I don't think you can just, I've tried it. You have to have an Apple ID just for the purposes of establishing an App Store account. Because otherwise, how would you re-download apps?
And you have to have an Apple ID to have an iPhone.
No, you don't. You don't have to have an Apple ID. So you could use an app, because I've seen people do that. You could use an iPhone without an Apple ID. You just won't be able to use anything but the stock apps that it comes with. It just means you cannot go into the App Store and download any free apps. It would be, in other words, you could buy an iPhone, set it up with cell service, and then just use it as a phone. I mean, what's the purpose of having an iPhone if you're just going to make phone calls with it? But I have seen people do that. I have seen people, they just want the status. They don't, they're so afraid of anything cloud related. Or it could be that they're a government employee. It could be that it's their job that prevents them. I've seen that too. I've seen people who work for contractors and this could be like their work phone or it could be their personal phone, but they don't want to have anything in the cloud because they're the type of person that cannot use the cloud because of their security clearance or whatever. Okay. So it is possible. It's not likely, but it is possible to use a smartphone without being tied to the manufacturer's ID system. So you can use a phone. It's basically a burner phone is what it is. You can set up your cellular service, but you don't have to log in to an Apple ID. The only gotcha is if you want to download third-party apps, you have to log into the App Store with an Apple ID. And this is why there's a monopoly, a hearing, a lawsuit against Apple. I don't personally believe it, but I can see why there might be just enough people that say, well, I don't want to have an Apple ID to use an iPhone. Well, then fine, but then you can't use an App Store. Well, but I don't want to use the App Store. Well, then how are you going to download apps? Well, then I'm suing you because I want to be able to use an iPhone because I like the hardware, but I'm suing you now because I want you to let me have another way of sideloading apps. I want
security,
a third party App Store. Exactly. So you can see how twisted the web gets when you talk about the limitations. Well, it's like if you imagine this whole flow chart, well, I'm going to start out here and now I'm going to go down. I'm going to go to the left. Oh, wait, I can't go left because I have to go right. And then you go down and then you go down. Okay, wait, I can't go left or I can't go right because now I have to go left. So it is. It's like a flow chart when you're talking about this kind of stuff. So back to passkeys. I mean, it is theoretically possible for my husband and I to share an Amazon account and only have 1 passkey and everything syncs through 1Password. And that is the credential manager is where it's at. If you don't want to be beholden to an Apple ID, if you don't want to be beholden to a Google ID or a Microsoft ID, because those are the three players, those are where you can sign in with Apple, sign in with Microsoft, sign in with Google, however it is that they phrase it. if you are going to put all your eggs in one basket, you can do that. But there are people who don't want to do that. There are people who are very agnostic and want to be able to switch and slide around between all different devices. And for those people, you must use a credential manager, whether it's Bitwarden, whether it's 1Password, whether it's whatever it is. Bitwarden and 1Password are the only two that I... Oh, no, I'm sorry. There's Keeper. Keeper, Bitwarden, and 1Password are the ones that will work with passkeys. Keeper and 1Password are very, very similar. So if you are agnostic and you want to be able to use different platforms, you have to use a third-party credential manager. That's how you get around buying a new device and having your passkey sync. You have to log into your credential manager. You have to be able to go in on that brand new device and sign into something. And in this case, we're back to the App Store. We're back to, you do need to, because 1Password is a third-party, Bitwarden and Keeper, they're all third-party credential managers that you must install on an iOS device by way of the App Store. And you can't install them unless you have an Apple ID to log into the App Store, to my knowledge. I mean, you know, as I have tested it. If somebody else has another way, I'd really be interested in knowing how you can do that.
Well, I think my original premise, though, was I thought with a passkey, the key that's on my phone is different than the key that's on my iPad, which is different than the key that's on my computer. That when I log into Amazon, it knows I'm on the computer, or it knows that I'm doing this from the phone. If I sign in once with the passkey, if I set up a passkey with Amazon, it sounds like what you're saying is it is the same key for all three devices.
It is the same key for your eyeballs, but it is different keys. So 1Password is doing something cryptologically that we cannot see. We do not need to see it. We do not need to know how the sausage is made or being manufactured behind the scenes. I think it is true that you register multiple passkeys with Amazon or with Target, for example. But when it comes down to the device handshake, we don't need to see those separate keys. In your 1Password, you only see one passkey.
Right.
You do not see three passkeys for three different devices. But I have made passkeys on other services where I did see that I registered a passkey for an iOS device, and then I registered a passkey for a macOS device and an iPadOS device. I have seen, and it just depends upon the service. So, for example, Amazon doesn't seem to care to show you that you have multiple passkeys registered for multiple devices. In other words, when I go into the account, I can't revoke. At least I haven't seen. I can't revoke, and that's not a good thing. You want to be able to have the ability to revoke. I can't seem to find in Amazon, for example, a way to, like if I go into login security, so I'm going to sign in with my passkey right now, I have not seen a way to revoke a passkey, whereas other services will let you
revoke a passkey. I did for Amazon, but I cannot remember where I saw it.
Yeah, so it must be buried somewhere because I'm under your account login and security where I would expect to see such a thing. And I do not see. All I see is the name, the email, the primary mobile number, the passkey. I could edit it. Okay, I stand corrected. I just clicked edit. It is. It's under passkey. Sharing this account with someone who wants to sign in with a passkey, they'll need to set up their own. And it says two passkeys on Amazon. And there is a trash. Now, they're both on the same date. There's a trash can icon. I could delete one. But the problem is it doesn't let me edit it. All it says is 1Password set up October 23rd, 2023. And it's the same thing for the one beneath it. I could add a passkey.
Yes. I think you and I were doing that together because I saw that too. Yep. And I deleted one of them.
Right. Now, but if I don't know which one of these. I don't know. Right, exactly. There's no way to know because you can't edit the title of it. All it says is 1Password. Now, if I had disabled 1Password and if I'd gone in and chosen to use Apple's keychain and sync my keychain, my passkey through the keychain service through iCloud, it would probably say iCloud.
Yeah.
or Apple or something to that effect. And then I would know the difference. Okay, this I'm not using, let's say I, for example, I'm not using Apple anymore. I'm going to switch to Google. I can say, okay, revoke this. They don't use the word revoke, but I will be revoking it. I will be clicking the trash can icon and deleting the iCloud because I don't use it anymore. I only want to use, you know, 1Password or Bitwarden or Keeper or whatever. Then that, yes. So it does show you, but see, you're expecting to see multiple passkeys in 1Password, and that's where it's hidden from us because we don't need to interact with it that way. Mm-hmm. But you have to go to each individual account, so Amazon, Target, Twitter, wherever it is that you have set up passkeys, you have to be able to find, like I just did now, because I just didn't click, I didn't dig far enough. You have to be able to go into that account, and that's where you manage, revoke, or add passkeys for different things. So I'm going to click the add passkey button.
Yeah, now I'm in Best Buy right now, and it says I have 2 passkeys enabled, remove all passkeys, but it's not telling me. Did I make 2 for Best Buy? Is 1 from my phone and 1 from my computer? I don't know. Mm-hmm. There's no way of finding out. And there was a site I went on yesterday, and I cannot remember what it was, but it goes back to what you were saying. It specifically said Mac OS. And I had 2, though.
Right. So some sites are going to be better than others, and they're all going to have to learn the hard way that if you're going to roll out passkeys, you better give people agency, and you better give them the ability to be able to revoke those passkeys.
Like, That's why this is so confusing. It's not just cut and dry.
It's not. And that's why I like to keep talking about it, because we keep discovering things. Well, like, okay, well, what about this? Or what about that? Or what about this? What if, you know, here's another one. What if you have a domestic violence situation where you've got a couple, they're sharing pass keys, you know, for accounts and stuff. And it turns out that the boyfriend is tracking all the girlfriend's movements, and she can't go in and revoke the pass key. Like, what do you do then? She'll just have to create a new account. But what if, like, all of her stuff is in that prior account and she needs to be able to access it for some, you know, you make up, you know, use your imagination what kind of an account that is, whether it's, you know, medical records, which should be private anyway.
But, or banking.
You know, or banking, exactly. What if, you know, that's another thing in domestic abuse situations where one partner will control the other partner by revoking access to their money. That's how they maintain control. So what do you do in that situation where you have a joint account and you need to be able to revoke a passkey? I mean, all these things need to be ironed out. And I think that's why it's going to take years for this rollout to occur, and why a lot of people are still, and I've said this in my presentations too, a lot of people, you know, they'll look at me and say, yeah, but Melissa, I still have to have a password. So what's the point? What's the point? And that's a tough question. And there isn't really a good answer to it. What is the point of using passkeys? The point is that this is going to be the way of the future, we hope. It's happening, whether you like it or not. Companies are going to start doing away with passwords because it behooves them to do so, because it's protecting their bottom line. If passkeys are not crackable and they're not hackable like passwords are, they're going to want to shore up their defense by getting rid of passwords eventually so that they don't get hacked. Because right now we're dealing with security breaches. We're dealing with database breaches. And that's the problem. That's the problem that needs to be solved, is this constant, your account was like AT&T, it just happened to, it just happened to Xfinity. Like, these things are being breached because of weak password hygiene, because whether it's the user end or on the other side of the company, because someone in the administration level used poor practices in security. And so that's what they're trying to fix. And so what the point is that companies are going to want to protect their bottom line. So we're going to have to use passkeys because that's what they want to do, right? But then I still maintain, well, okay, we're going to use passkeys, but then have you thought about account administration for the user side of things? What about being able to revoke them? How are you going to make that possible? I can't remember exactly which one it was, but I know I'll go back to my presentation and look. There are some websites, there's one or two where one in particular where you could set up a practice account, and all it requires is your email address. And I'll talk about that in a second. But the point is that when I use that, I purposely screwed it up so that I could see what would happen, because that's what I do. What happens if I make a mistake and I have to go in and revoke that? Well, in this particular website, I think it might have been just passkey.org or something like that. When I created an account, I purposely borked it. But when I was able to go back in and see the passkeys that I had created, I could see that, okay, here's the timestamp. This is the one that doesn't work anymore because I was using 1Password and it was like, it was putting me into this loop similar to what you were experiencing with, I think it was Yahoo.
With Yahoo, yeah.
I was stuck in this login loop where it was the wrong thing. And I was like, okay, fine. I just didn't need to go and revoke this. And when I went to log in, they both said Mac OS. Okay, yes, I know I made this goof up on purpose with my Mac, but which one? Oh, well, then I was able to see that, okay, this one was created because, you know, it was late at night. One of them was created like 1 a.m. and the other one was created at like 2 a.m. or something. I was like, okay, it's the first one. Because then I could discern the difference based on the timestamp. Well, as you and I both, you know, looked at, like even in Amazon, there's no discernment. It just says passkey enrollment. It just says 1Password and it only gives you the date. It doesn't give you the time. If it had given me the time, then I could say, oh, yeah, I remember. That's the one I set up for my husband. But then we decided we didn't need it. And so that's the one that needs to be deleted because I don't need that one on this device. That's the wrong one for this device. That's the one I need to delete. You know what I'm saying? And so, again, we're at the mercy of these web developers who are designing the interface for us to be able to follow. And if they're not going to give us timestamps or they're not going to let us edit the title for it, then yeah, we're kind of going to be screwed. It's going to be difficult. It was difficult for you and it's been difficult for me. What the hell is going to happen to other people who, you know, our husbands, for example, who just cannot stand this stuff and for good reason? I mean, I'm not ready to throw my device across the screen. I'm not angry for myself because I just persevere. I don't get upset about this kind of stuff. Now, if it was my car or if it was, you know, some other device or something, if it was somebody else's PC, yeah, I'd want to chuck it out the freaking window because it's not making sense to me and I just can't be bothered to care about it anymore. And I can see why people get really hop and mad about this and they have every right to. I just am a little bit more tempered when it comes to my own devices and, you know, my family's devices. I'm just a little bit more calm and cool and collected about it. I can persevere. I know how to keep needling and needling and needling until I figure it out. And I just don't get upset about it because I don't know why. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think of a reason why I don't get upset about it. I get passionate and I get excited about it. And I feel bad for other people that get upset about it. I just don't get upset about it. And I guess that's why I do what I do. Why mm-hmm. people hire me and pay me to do it. Everybody's got to have something, right? Everybody's got to have something that just doesn't get their panties in a bunch. And that's why they make money. Whereas like, you know, it's just not somebody else's cup of tea. So, yeah. I know you said we shouldn't dwell on it, but I had a rant and I had to keep going.
Okay. So we did have a few other things we wanted to talk about, but I guess we'll save that for next time because we weren't planning on spending this much time on passkeys, but there's a lot to talk about.
Who knew?
There's a lot to talk about. So, Melissa, if people want to get in touch with us to tell us about their passkey experiences, or if they have some more questions that you can answer, would they go about getting in touch?
I would love that, actually. I don't get upset about this kind of stuff. I'm just so curious about it. So, yeah, lay it on me. If you've got questions, you can go to our website, geekiestshowever.com. You can click on our contact tab. Or if you just want to email us, it's really easy. It's podcast@geekiestshowever.com. Just shoot us an email. You can also go onto social and hit us up there. And if I don't see it, Elisa will show me. And where might that be, Elisa?
Well, if you want to get in touch with me, I'm @ElisaPaselli1 on Twitter. The show is @geekiestshow. On Mastodon, I am @SenseiDai@mastodon.social. The show is @geekiestshowever@techhub.social. And for Melissa, you can just go to themacmommy.com and that will bring you to all things Melissa all over the internet. All Melissa all the time. And on that fun note, we are going to say thank you so much for listening. We will be back again in a couple of weeks. And until then, please stay safe.